told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for this promise. That, Lord, you'd see fit in your heart to not only show us grace, pay the sin debt that we owed, but the Father, you would desire to have us where you are for all eternity. Lord, it is a gift. Lord, we ought to be grateful. Help us, Father, to not just look forward to it, but to praise you for it long before we receive it. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It is easy for us, and we often do, look around at the world and we say, there are things I don't like. I don't like hurricanes. I don't like the destruction they leave behind. I don't like addiction and how it affects people. I don't like how it hurts people and robs them of their life and their joy and their finances. I don't like it. We had a situation across the street, that poor lady over there, she was doing stuff she probably shouldn't have been doing, but she was going through some hard times. I hate that. I hate when people fall on hard times. It is difficult to go through those things, to have an addiction, to be in that kind of a situation. There are believers down south trying to unwaterlog their possessions, trying to figure out how they're going to feed their families tonight without electricity or the ability to make fire. They've lost everything. I don't like that. What do we see on the news every day? War. War. And nobody seems to have a solution, but everybody seems convinced they're the person to be in charge. He said, you know, there is no solution for these things here on earth. Death will always happen. Illness will always happen. I hate cancer. You hate cancer. I hate cancer. We hate cancer. Doesn't make any sense on earth. We hate it. We hate when the body gets old. We hate when good things happen to, or bad things happen to good people. We absolutely hate to see children suffer. We hate to see the state of philosophy in our country, in our world. We hate the things around us. What does God say to these things? Let not your heart be troubled. Well, so I'm just supposed to go around and pretend to be happy? Oh, another wildfire claimed 100 lives. Okay. Oh, did you hear? They're closing up the school. I don't know what we're going to do with all those kids. Okay. No, that's not what we do. Listen, there's not much we can do on a sin-cursed earth. Tomorrow they could find out a gene or a chemical or something you could put into the body, make a person live forever. You know what we're going to do? We're still going to have problems. We could find a cure for every illness, every pain, every disease. We can make a body that's 102 years old feel like it's 2 years old again. And we will still have problems. We'll just have more time to bicker. We'll have more time to cause problems. There'll be more abuses and more trouble the longer we live. There is nothing to be done on this planet to make it any less sinful other than each and every last one of us behaving ourselves sinlessly for the rest of our lives. And even then, we still have to contend with the flesh. It's rough. So what is it that God says, oh man, what do we do about this world that's hit with the weather? What do we do about these people out there doing terrible things? What do we do? Ain't that much we can do here. We preach the gospel. We live as best behaved lives as we can. But ultimately, you can't control people. So what do? We look forward to the place where it doesn't happen anymore. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. The first place God gave us. Remember? The Garden of Eden. That's the first place we had. And it was beautiful. You hungry? Here you go. Any fruit, any tree, you go ahead. Well, what's my job? What do I do all day? Because if I get bored, I'll get in trouble. Oh, no. Your job is to look over the animals. What's this? That's a giraffe. What's this? That's a caribou. Could you imagine that being your job? Toddlers do that, don't they? What's this? That's a cow. That'd be fun all day. All right, now go over there and go see what the lions are doing. Okay, all right, what are you guys doing? Take care of the animals. Eat. The ground's just going to give you food. You just take it. And what do? The one thing we weren't supposed to. And then what did we do? We spilled blood on that land. And we've been spilling blood on that land ever since. Innocent blood, guilty blood, 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 blood. We've just been spilling it. What else have we spilled into the ground? Chemicals. Our pop bottles and things. We've made a mess of this place. You sit there is a mass of trash in the ocean. They say the size of Texas. We did that. I mean, Brother Greg was showing me pictures from his vacation, and I've seen pictures of some of the ones that the Gunners have gone to. Just these mountains. I've never seen mountains. At least not outside of Kentucky. I've seen Kentucky mountains. I've never seen like ice-capped or snow-capped mountains. Never seen that before. That's beautiful to me. We have a beautiful, beautiful world. It's filled with beautiful animals that we hunt to extinction. And we pollute and we chop down more trees than we need. Why? Because I need just one more IKEA sofa. We do this to the world around us. We pump chemicals into the water. We pump chemicals into the people. And we sit there and we go, why? We make products like Cheetos. And Danielle and I, we discovered this thing. It's coming out October 10th. McDonald's is redoing the Big Mac. You hear this? Two pieces of McChicken instead of the burger. Oh, yeah. That's what we're doing to ourselves. Remember back when KFC had one where it was two pieces of chicken as the bread? Like, that's what it was. The bread was the chicken. And we know that stuff's not chicken. It's parts of chicken. It's the cartilage. It's this, it's that. It's nothing new. That's what we're doing to ourselves. We pollute our minds. We pollute the airwaves. We fill the night sky with light when we could be looking up at the beautiful tapestry God created. We do this. Brother, you're starting to sound like one of those eco nuts. Listen, God gave us this thing. Let's take care of it. You let me borrow your summer house and I trash it. How are you going to feel? I'm not a tree hugger, although I've given some a little bit of a, you know. I'm just saying that we do this. We poison ourselves. We poison each other. And we sit there and we go, man, why is this earth the way it is? Why is it that we can't go out to the park anymore because it's just filled with needles and garbage and trash? Why can't I go there anymore? There's a park down there. It's a nice park. But you got to be careful what time you go down to that park. And when you go to the park, you got to check the park first to make sure your kids don't stumble across something they're not supposed to touch or could poke or touch them. This is what we have. And folks, we can't blame God. We did this. We did it with our behavior. We did it with our sin nature. We did it. And you know what? As we continue on, we'll keep doing it. This is the first place. And my friends, we're losing the first place. This is going to go one day. So I'll be gone. Bible says we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. This one's going. What comes next is a beautiful place. A place where it's glory, glory, glory. The angels are singing. And you know what? You don't have to pay $7.99 to some music subscription to hear that singing. And you're going to see wonderful sights. You don't have to get cramped into an airplane for a few hours to go see. You'll be there. What beautiful things. We'll not get tired in looking at those things. We'll stand around and see the splendors and glory of heaven and know that it can never be damaged. Man, I used to like to go to places. And what happens? People discover those places. And the one minute you're walking through, you go, oh, this is nice. Look at these little mushrooms over here. And look at those trees. Look at the flowers that are growing over here. Man, this is a beautiful place. But after a few years, people come in and there's cigarette butts everywhere and there's bottles everywhere and there's trash and all sorts of things all over the place. And then what do? You try to do the good thing. And I'm going to pick up the trash as I go. I'll pick up the trash as I go. And after a while, it's just overrun. And you're tired. You're tired of going there to pick it up. So what do? You go to find a new place. You won't do that in heaven. You know what I like about heaven? No doctors in heaven. Not that doctors won't go to heaven. We will just no longer need their services. You got to be careful when you talk like that. We won't need their services. We won't need lawyers. We won't need veterinarians. We won't need the gas company. We won't need the electric company. We won't need a car salesman. We won't need a car. We head to a place that is way better than the one we have. And that is my hope. That's my joy. That one day we leave behind a world of bad news and bad weather and bad behavior and bad times. And we get to enjoy an eternity in heaven. He says, don't worry. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house. Where is that? That's heaven. Now, some people get real tricky. Well, that word house and that word mansion, we got to be very careful. Where God lives, there's a place for me. Amen? And I didn't buy it. I didn't go on Zillow. I didn't behave enough. I didn't win a contest. God just said, come on. Isn't that wonderful? Man, I spent forever. I spent years in the housing industry showing people houses. Do you like one bedroom or two? Two? That's good. You want to go on the upstairs or the downstairs? Oh, you want to see both? Awesome. Let's go. Do you like this one? You like? Okay, perfect. All right, now let's go ahead and let's have you fill out the application. Good, good, good. Yep. And they turn the application in and I put it into the computer and it goes, eh. Their lifestyle didn't match the criteria that was in the computer. And people used to ask me all the time. They say, well, Matt, what do I got to do to get in? I say, listen, I don't know. I put in the computer, and if it goes ding, you're good. If it goes no. Well, what about this, 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 and that? I don't know. We'll have to ask the Oracle. I don't know. And there, you might get in. You might not get in. Man, I had people sitting there going, all right, honey, you go fill out the application. I'm going to stay here and measure the walls. And they would measure the walls and fill out the application. She had plans. Those plans weren't happening. We look back over 2008. How many people got caught up in the evictions? They had a dream house they were probably in for forever. And they lost it. Why? Market crashed. This happened. That happened. We were given loans. We were given $100,000 loans to people who make $9 an hour. And they lost it. Down here, your living circumstances are determined by your behavior. In heaven, it is already assumed you don't have the credit. And you still get in. Not because it doesn't matter, but because he paid it. So imagine this. Imagine I run somebody's credit and I say, hey, listen, you would be okay, but you owe $6,000 to this credit card company, $9,000 to this credit card company, and you got a car note that's in delinquency. So you got to bring that up, pay those off, bring me the receipts, I'll give it back to the computer, and if it likes it, you're in. Oh, I can't do that. I don't have that much money. I just have enough to move in. And that would be like me looking at them going, fine. What's the number on the credit card? What's the number on the other one? Who do you have your card note from? All right, hold on. All right, I paid your dues. You know what I'm going to do also? I'm going to pay your moving costs. Just keep yourself together. He didn't just go, nah, you're fine. He paid that debt. It wasn't just a matter of, well, I don't know, you have to behave, you have to be good, you have to be nice. No, I will pay the debt. And all you do have to do is you have to repent and believe. Folks, that is what salvation is. I remember, I can't tell you how many thousands of move-in cost calculators I put in. You got to get this, 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 and that. I need consumers energy. I need DT energy. I need you to get the confirmation numbers. I need your renter's insurance. I need to see that we're marked as additional interest. So if you cancel your renter's policy, I get notified on it. Like, I need all this stuff for you to get in. God says, repent of your sins. Believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. Folks, that's a much easier task than anything we require of each other around here. That we are permitted a place in heaven by the gift and very grace of Christ. We don't have to be troubled about this world. All we have to be prepared, all we have to think about it, all we ought to respond to it. I praise the Lord for Michael Hugan and Seth Faust. Michael's down there at Flat Rock. Seth's up there in Traverse City. They've got this massive collection of things. They've got a big tow trailer. They're taking supplies down to an area they know is busted up, and they're going to disperse those things. We're not giving it to the Red Cross. We're not giving it to FEMA. They are giving it to people they know. And there's a church there. It's got it organized. This is how we're going to spread it out. I love that because we've given stuff to Red Cross and it sat there. I remember all those water bottles donated to Flint. They've got them stuck in abandoned buildings now. There was so much of it. There was too much to hand out. Nobody wanted them after a while. These things that we're donating, they're actually going to go to people. We got to do stuff like that in a place like this. You got to go see the doctor in a place like this. You got to take your medicine in a place like this. You got to go see your dentist. You got to go do the exercise. You got to do things like that in a place like this. But in the place that's coming up, there are no relief efforts because there's no need for relief. And that is what we look forward to. That is what we desire. That is what we seek. And what does he say to them? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a love note. I'm going to go build a place so that the place I'm at, you're at. I want you to come with me. I want you where I'm at. Up here in heaven, up here in the great glory of things, everything I left to come down to die on the cross for your sins, you're going to get to go have. You come with me. It is wonderful that the God who created all things, that the God who knows you above all else, nobody knows you like God knows you. You don't even know you like God knows you. God knows you literally inside and out. He even knows when you're kidding yourself, when you're lying to yourself, when you believe something's not real. He knows everything. And he wants you with him. Isn't that remarkable? My wife loves me. She needs a break every now and then. I don't know if I've told this story yet, but I keep getting her. I'll just say stuff in public. Just to get her. It's like that time I offered the guy, we were going into a state park. I offered him a burrito instead of the $10 they wanted to charge to get in. Not because I wanted to razz him, but just because I wanted to see what her face would look like. She loves me to death. She needs a break from me every now and then. And if you knew me, you'd feel for her. That God would know me more and still want to have anything to do with me is amazing. But that he would want me in the same place he is, I don't understand. God, how can with all your righteousness and all your goodness and your disdain for failure and inaccuracy and chaos and disorganization, how could you want to have anything to do with me? But he says, you'll be with me. In a place where there is no sin, no trouble, no sorrow, no dying. A place where the hallelujahs ring and the songs never end. A place of gladness and a place of joy. Oh, what a wonderful place. And we, without merit of our own, outside of believing in Christ and repenting of our sins, we get to partake of. Folks, this is more than a gift. This is everything. This is everything. But as we continue to read, we see there's some questions. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? This is where we get stuck. Because while I'm up here preaching that salvation comes by repentance of sin and believing that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sin, there are other people out there saying, in order for you to have salvation, you must do that plus give the church a significant amount of money. There are people out there that say you got to buy indulgences. There are other people that say you don't need any of that, you just need to be baptized. There are some people out there that believe that it's more of a path, and if you do good and your good outweighs your bad, which is Egyptian pagantry, by the way, but if your good outweighs your bad, you get to go into heaven. So we sit here like many people do when they're confronted with religion. How do we know that this is the way? How do we get there? Because it's not just the Christian religion, but the Jews don't even believe in Christ. They believe in the sacrifices. You got to keep the faith. You got to follow the law. You got to do the sacrifices. And then you look over to other people. There's the Hindus. There's the Muslims. Everybody's got a way. Right? If you're Norse, if you're of a Norse religion, you believe that you got to die in battle or this or that. Different things you got to do. Maybe you don't go to heaven. Maybe you go to a purgatory place and somebody's got to pray you out, or you got to serve until you can get out, or you got to hope you're in a certain number of people. And if you're not in that number, you don't get to go and you're shuffled off to annihilation. There's many thoughts and many philosophies. And we could ponder, and we can bicker, and we can argue. But ultimately, the Bible prescribes just one way. It's one. And it's not the way I invented. It's not the way somebody hundreds of years invented. It's what God says you need to do. And what is it that God says to do? I mean, here we've got, Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Well, how do we get there? We don't know where you're going. How do we get there? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the way. I heard a fantastic illustration about this in a sermon one time. A group of people from a church went over to the Middle East, and there's a dear woman in the group, and the dear woman, she wanted to send a postcard back to her daughter. So she needed to find the post office so she could send the postcard out. So she's looking around for the post office. It's a very busy marketplace where they were, and she couldn't find it. So she asks the shop owner, how do you get to the post office? And he tries to describe to her, oh, you got to go up this way, turn left, turn right, then come up here the way, and then you come over here on this. And as he's describing how all the steps she's going to have to take, he could tell she's getting lost already. And I understand exactly how that is. Once you get past 6 or 7 turns, I'm lost. This is how I end up getting in places I'm not supposed to be in the hospital. That lady in the front counter will say, you need to go here, 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 here. And then you another left and you're there. And I'm midway through those instructions and I already go, I'm going to have to wing it. So he's looking at her and he goes, closes up the shop and he says to her, I am the way, come follow me. And that has changed the way I've seen this verse. We don't know where to go. I'm the way. I'm going to show you. I'm going to make it possible. I'm the only chance you have for you to get there. I'm it. You don't have to find the way. Aren't you glad you don't have to find the way? Man, if God said you had to do these 19 behaviors perfectly without any flaw, none of us would get in. Right? That's what the law did. Hey, these are the things you've got to do. And if you can do these things, you're perfect. And what do we quickly learn? We're not perfect. We're not. You give us one rule and we broke it. And we broke it. So what? You can't follow the rules good enough. You're going to have flaws, you're going to have impulses, you're going to have bad days. You can't do it. So I'm the way. Even dying and going to hell would not be, there's no time spent in hell long enough that would pay our sin debt. Why? Because it's an imperfect body and only perfection, right? You can't take something in debt and make money in it. I don't care what the American banking system says. You can't take something in debt. That's what we are. We're in debt. And you can't make money on debt. Oh, but what about? No, no, it's a shell game. It busts loose. 2008 was proof of it. Many of the other problems that we have is proof of it, that when you invent money where money's not, you're going to have issues. So when you come down to your virtue, if you try to invent virtue over a period of time where there's no virtue, there's negative virtue, you're never going to break even, let alone have enough to pay for your sin debt. So what do I need? I need someone who is perfect, someone who never sinned, someone who'd never done any wrong to be my way, because I would have never gotten there without him. He is the way. He is the truth. You understand? If I say that I've done good enough to get into heaven, I may be able to sit there and say, that's my truth, but it's not the truth. If I give money to the church, if I get baptized, if I do good deeds and help everyone across the street and feed every hungry person I find, that's works. And the God says that salvation is not of works. Why? Because then I could brag about it. Well, I'm sorry, you're not as good as I am. You couldn't earn sin. That's not the way we are. I don't deserve it, and I was given to it was given to me. That's grace. Because I am the way. I am the truth. I am the truth. I am how you'll get there. I am what makes it sweet. And he even says there as we continue on reading. forgive me, I've completely lost my spot. Verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because what do I have to bring the Father? Hey, Lord, you know all that stuff you said don't do? Yeah, I did it. We have metal detectors set up in certain places, don't we? We go to drop off the water sample. I got to go through the metal detector. They want me to put my wallet on the scan. That's how little faith they have in the people. I got to put my wallet on the thing to go through to scan because they think I'm going to have something dangerous in my wallet. Could you imagine me going up to the metal detector going, hey, don't worry. I've got like a 9mm here, a 45 there, big old buck knife in my sock. You're not getting in. I sat there behind somebody one time. They had a big old pocket knife. I mean, this thing was, by the time it came out, it was easily 4 inches just. And he goes, I can't have this. And the guy goes, specifically, you can't have that. He goes, you see this? It's there to catch that. So that'd be me going up to the Lord going, hey, you know how no sin's allowed in heaven? Yeah, I got a ton of it. Don't worry. You don't have to check me. I'm telling you I got it. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord Sitzer says, you got a ton of this sin debt. The wages of sin is death. You're going to die. You're going to go to hell. I'm going to pay that debt for you. I'm going to pay the cost calculator. I'm going to handle your travel expenses. I'm going to move you in. Because that's what's going to happen. One day we close our eyes for the last time. Lord's going to move us in. And you can't do it on your own. You can't. We need the grace of God. We need what Christ did on the cross for us to have this wonderful place to call our own. We need what God has for us. He says to him, I am the way. What'll happen is I'm going to die on the cross. That blood that is shed will be like the old lambs that were slain before, slain for the sake of the payment of their sins. But I'm going to pay it. I'm going to pay it once and we'll never have to pay it again because that is how pure my blood is. I'm going to die. I'm going to pay that sin debt because the wages of sin is death. I'll die for you. I'll go. I'll lay that blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And you will be redeemed. So when God looks at you, he will see someone, not perfect, but someone who has been justified. That is somebody who has done wrong and has been brought right again. You will be mine. And I will. will be yours. We even see in Scripture where he sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. What did Matt do down there? You see what Matt just did? I know. But I paid for that. That's mine. I hate the Hollywood version of what heaven is. You die, you stand before the big pearly gates, and there's St. Peter asking you questions. Oh, there's a lot of jokes about it. There's a lot of cartoons about it. There's a lot of things on TV about it. There ain't no St. Peter at those gates. I die, and the Lord goes, that's mine, come here. You go, he goes, that's mine, come here. And as we come in, we're in by the blood of God. Not because we earned it again, but because he loved us. And as we're down here, being boneheads, Christ looks at us and says, he's about to say he's sorry. And I get down on my knees, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And that's covered. And that's covered. The thing to me, though, is you gotta be grateful. Don't sin because you know you're going to be covered. Don't mess up. We had a lady one time, she came to us, she was going to move in, and she got the approval, and she was so excited to get the approval, she went out and she celebrated, and she blew a huge hole in the money that she had saved to move in. And she shows up on move-in day, I say, hey, listen, I need your move-in funds. And she goes, well, we kind of got a little carried away the other day, but I figured if you just let me move in, I'll pay that as I can. And I said, that's not how it works. I go, you got to pay it all up front. It was just a small mistake. You got to be able to forgive it. After all, you've approved me. And I said, no, as a matter of fact, I can't do anything unless I got to put this. See, again, people think that I had choices. I didn't have choices. The computer did everything for me. I put the money in. The computer goes, hey, that's money. You know, I had a little check scanner. Zip. This is a legitimate check. Or a legitimate money order. Ding. And I could go on to the next step. I couldn't sit there between me and the cash scanner and go, or the check scanner and go, hey, listen, now she seems like she's on the up and up. There was no bypass this step function I could push if you were sweet to me. That is the expectation we have here on earth. And you know what? If they did come in, and they did pay, and they were able to come in, and in doing that, they blew holes in the walls, and I took an opportunity here or there on people. I said, hey, listen, this is at my discretion. We've talked. I'm willing to give you the chance. And they take advantage of that chance. I'd get upset, and what would I do? Well, I'd put a little eviction notice on their door. You broke the contract. And we would do that. God does none of those things. If I mess up, I still go in. But you understand how ungrateful that is? We don't accept that of each other. You know how ungrateful it is when we do that to God? Lord, you paid it all, so I'm going to rack up the bill. Lord, you paid it all, so I'm going to do whatever I want. Lord, there's no way, because your son died on the cross to justify my soul, if I mess up, there's no way you're not going to let me in. So I'm going to keep doing as much as I want. And you're not going to kick me out because you've already approved me. It's ungrateful. It's despicable. When we know that what the Lord paid was not cash, was not favor, but blood. But blood. That's why we ought to care what we do. I don't want you to behave according to the Bible because we all want to look good. That's a waste of time. We ought not act as Christians so we can look superior to others as prideful, arrogant, and wrong. When we behave ourselves, when we stand up as Christians, when we do what we ought to do, it ought to be because God has given us such a fantastic gift. We want to show our gratitude. Lord, I know my temper is one of the things you saved me from. So I'm going to keep it in check. I know my gluttony, my addiction, my whatever is among the many things that would have sent me to hell. Lord, thank you. And in doing so, I'm going to show that I can live without those things because you've given me much more. I no longer need those things. He is the way. He is the truth. So let us walk in the way and let us abide in the truth as the Bible tells us to do. Verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So he says, I and my Father, as he said before, I and my Father are one. You see me, you see him. And one day you will be with us. And folks, that is what I look forward to. When I turn on the news and I see the world flooded over, when I see fire burning through houses, when I see hungry people, when I see things, there's just not much we could do. Man, I wish this church had $1 billion. We just give it to folks. Man, if I had $1 billion and no discretion whatsoever, the fun we could have, we'd build places for people to sleep. We'd have opportunities to give the gospel. We'd rent out facilities, just anything we could to do. Are you sure we would do that, brother? I think that's what the Lord would have us to do if we had the right resources for it. That's what they did in Acts. Why shouldn't we? So they had all things in common, and people who had need, they could find help. I wish we could. Man, I tell you what, we would need $1 billion just to handle the phone calls I get. I'm about to lose my house. I'm about to lose my car. This is the time of year. You know what I get more around this time of year? We're about to get our gas cut off, our electricity cut off. I had four of those in the last, I've had four of those since this month began. My electric's about to be cut off. You talk to them and they've got big bills too. Somebody called us one time, $10,000 to help them not lose their apartment. They're like, well, I talked to my family. They said they don't have that kind of money. I go, no, I don't think we do either. I go, I don't know too many people who have extra $10,000 just laying around. It's hard. You know, I sit there, I do the best I can. You know, jugs of water over here, a bag of chicken over there, a bunch of canned goods there, a whole bunch of food we got over there already ready to ship down to people who, we do the best we can. But we need $1 billion just to keep up with Mount Morris. We would. When I see these things, and I see people that I just can't help. Not that I don't want to, not because of moral reasons, but physically, you can't. Can't help everybody. The needs have grown too great. I think of a world where they'll no longer be homeless. They'll no longer be hungry. They'll no longer be abused children. They'll no longer be scams. Or scams about abused children. I think I might have mentioned this during the coffee fellowship last week. We had somebody call and they said, hey, did you know that child abuse is up to, and they read some percentage in the 90s. 90 some odd percent of children are getting abused. I kind of chuckled. And I go, well, I don't know that exact number, but I'm sure it's true. 90% of children, 90 plus percent of children. And she goes, what we do, and then she listed off some radio station, and she was slurring her words together, and she was just incoherent in some of the things. She goes, well, here's what I'll do. For $300, we will read this statement with your church's name in it. And basically it was, hey, we at Home Missionary Baptist Church stand against child abuse and blah, 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 blah. And if you have any questions, please reach out to this number. At Home Missionary Baptist Church. She goes, would that be okay by you? She goes, and if the $300 is hard to come by, we will space it out over 3 weeks for you. I'm like, why don't you just tell me to get some gift cards while I'm at it? You know what I mean? But no, there's going to be a world without that. There will be a place and a time where there's no longer people scamming or no longer hurting kids and no longer playing games, and we'll be beyond that. We won't have to worry about what's in the water. We won't have to worry about what's in the air. We won't have to worry about what's in the food. It'll just be glory. No bad days. No more pain, no more suffering. That is the gift of God. And today, if that is a gift we require, we must see ourselves as the sinners we are. Not in a self-degrading, picking on yourself kind of way, but in that I know that what I do doesn't match what God tells me to do. But in a, I know I have failed to reach God's expectations. And from there, we must understand that that penalty is an eternity in hell. We must repent of our sins, meaning we say we're sorry and we turn from them. Lord, I won't do that no more. I understand that this lifestyle is unacceptable and I turn to you. We apologize for our sins. And you know what we must believe? We must believe that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, to die on the cross to pay for those sins. And in doing so, we receive redemption. That through that sacrifice, through that gift, we can go where he is. God wants us with him. And I think that's wonderful because I know a lot of people who don't want to be near me. You know, I know a lot of people who can't stand me. I've had people look at me and say, hey, listen, why don't you just be quiet? Why don't you go away for a while? Sometimes it's just my wife. We're not everybody's cup of tea. We're not everybody's favorite person. And sometimes it's just because, you know, I think the reason why I get told to be quiet so much is because I'm so loud. I haven't quite gotten there. I think that's one of the reasons why. But that God would want me. And that God would want you. Not just around him, but where I am, you'll be. And he's up there. Where's God in these hurricanes? He's building that place where there's no hurricanes. Where's God in this sorrow? He's up there building a world, a place for you without sorrow. Where's God in the mess that is my body or my life or what's going on? Where is God? He's up there preparing a place for you where those things don't exist anymore. And if we are saved, if we have repented of our sins and trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we too will have a place in heaven. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We just know. And we'll be able to experience that glory for all eternity without end. Down here is a place of concern. Down here is a place of how do I fix this? What do I do there? Gathering resources, saving money, going to the doctor, taking your medications, brushing your teeth, raking the leaves, all the stuff. That's what we do down here. In heaven, no need for any of those things. And that is what we must be prepared for. And in hard times, that must be what we look for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for your love. Grateful, Lord, for the things that you've done just so we could be with you. Lord, we trashed the first place and you saw fit to be merciful enough to give us another. Lord, I beg that you would save souls. That, Lord, you'd help us to stay calm, Lord, and looking forward to what's to come. Lord, help our faith to be strong. Father, I pray for those that are sick and injured. Lord, that you would heal them. But Father, we know this, that the ultimate healing comes when we leave beside this world, leave these bodies behind, and Father, we are with you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It's 5:34.